This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a questionnaire, they match you with a licensed therapist, and you can switch anytime, no additional charge. So, celebrate the progress that you've already made by visiting BetterHelp.com/Yanks today, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. .com/Yanks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talkin' Yanks. Thanks for joining in for another September guest call-up. We've been running through these every Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, depending on how the Yankees series and schedule lines up. Today, Jake's not with me. He's road tripping, so it's just me. I've got a guest. I think half of you will be super interested once you hear the name, and the other half will say, who's that? Oh, yeah, him. Bald Vinny. Bleacher Creature. If you don't know who Bald Vinny is, I really don't understand how you don't. I just don't get it. If you're a Yankee fan, you know Bald Vinny. He's kind of like the Fireman Ed of Yankee fans. Bald Vinny is a Bleacher Creature. He used to start the roll call with a, yo, Bernie. He's been out there to the roll call. He sells shirts in front of the stadium. He used to bought my I Hate Kyle Farnsworth shirt or anybody but Farnsworth shirt from him back in the day. So he's joining the show, and I talk about in the interview, like I used to just watch the Bleacher Creatures. My dad would take me to the games, and I just have my neck turned to the right, and I just watch the Bleacher Creatures. So this shit is so interesting to me and just fun to hear about the Bleacher Creatures. There's books written about these guys. There's documentaries written about these guys. They are it's like the Raiders Black Hole and the Yankees Bleacher Creatures. And those are the two fan sections that are known nationwide. So enjoy this interview with Bald Vinny. And we really appreciate him coming on. And we will be back with a Red Sox recap next. All right, joining us now, we have legendary Bleacher Creature and celebrity Yankee fan, Bald Vinny. Vinny, thank you very much for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Appreciate it.
Bald Vinny, is that the acceptable moniker? I mean, I feel like you've embraced it, and that was your...
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really funny because, like, I hang out with a big group of people out in the bleachers, and it's not like there's another Vinny that you have to differentiate me from. It's not like there's, like, 10 of us, you know, like, but our whole crew used to all have nicknames. So back when we hung out there, there was, like, 10 guys named Mike, you know? So there was an Uptown Mike, there was a Staten Island Mike, there was, like, that kid who was into, like, black metal, and he was Black Metal Mike, you know? So all those guys had nicknames, and there was actually two guys named Ray, believe it or not. And one of the guys named Ray was Bald, and he was Bald Ray. And just because he was Bald Ray, I became Bald Vinny. It's like the dumbest thing in the world, you know? Like it's like one of those silly things, and then, you know, that... Back then, it was message boards. You know, it was before Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff. You know, we used to just have a message board, and it was a screen name, and then it just kind of, you know, became a persona, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, that's very East Coast, though, and very New York. Everyone's got to have, like, a nickname and a moniker and a description in the nickname.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's funny, too, because just like I'm sure most people, you know, I have friends that you don't even know their real name. You know, we have a dude who sat with us for years, and everybody just called him Pops. You know, it's always been his nickname, Pops. And we were out and traveling out west, and he came to our hotel, and they called from the front desk, and they were like, yeah, John Lane is here. Can we send him up? And everybody's like, who the hell's John Lane? You know, we had no idea. And then they called back, like, we hear him in the back, just tell him it's Pops, tell him it's Pops. And we're like, oh, yeah, 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 send Pops up, you know? But yeah, that's what happens when you're in a big group, you know, and yeah, it's really just a social atmosphere. So we have a good time. It's all fun.
Yeah. When did the nickname start? Is that kind of like your initiation into the Bleacher Creature gang? Because I've heard you talk about it a little bit, and it was a well-established, you know, group of people before you entered.
Back before I started, and like, I guess, quote unquote, the whole commercialization of the bleachers, you know, it was, you became part of the group when you were asked to be part of the group. You know, it was really, back then, it was a general admission in the old stadium. You know, people would come up after work, and you just met people online, and you recognize a couple of faces and be like, oh, save me a spot, you know, save me a seat. And that's really how you became part of the group. When you got asked to sit in the seat. You know what I mean? Like when you got invited in to that little part, and back then it was more about how many games do you come to? You know, are you here showing up was really how you made yourself a creature. And really the big days were like the Saturday morning, because everybody comes out Friday night. Everybody can tear it up on Friday night. But if you can make it up on Saturday morning, then you really care. Then it really meant something to you. You know what I mean? And that's how you kind of got in with the group. And back then, you know, like the core group, we were all single. You know, it was a lot more easy going, a lot more fun times. And you can make road trips and you can make it down to, you know, 5-6 games a week. And that's how I actually started out there. You know, I used to work in Midtown Manhattan and I had a really cool boss. And I was super low man on the totem pole. I worked in advertising. And every day I was finding myself waiting for work. You know, I'd wait for my supervisor to do work and put it on my desk. And we got into this really cool agreement where they let me go to the games. And I would leave work at like 6 o'clock, bang up to the stadium. Back then, the game started at 7:30. And I would leave the game, go back to my office, and everything would be waiting for me on my desk. And I'd sit there and do work till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Go back home and come back in the next day, maybe like 11. They were really cool about it. And that's really how I fell into the group. So you start making games, people start to know you and participate, and that's how it happened back then. Now it's completely different. Now, you know, you just got to show up. You want to cheer for the Yankees. You're passionate about our team. And you, like, the really only prerequisite that we've ever had from the very beginning is you have to hate the Mets and you have to hate the Red Sox. Other than that, it's pretty simple.
You don't have to hate the box seats anymore?
I don't know, man. It's a little different because I you know, I see so many of my guys hanging out in the box seats these days. You know, I think back in the old stadium was really where that was really a big thing, because we were sectioned off. You know, I don't know how many people are familiar with the old stadium. I mean, it's been quite some years now since that old place was around. So for those of you who don't know, like, you couldn't go from the bleachers into the main stadium. You know, we had our own concession stand. We had our own bathroom and water fountain. They weren't the best, but we had our own. And it was just ours, and they couldn't get ours, and we couldn't get theirs. So basically, the group that was right next to us, they had the same view we had, but they paid like 3 times the price, and that's kind of where that whole rivalry came about. Now at the new stadium, I mean, guys will go hang out in NYY Steakhouse and chat on a nice porterhouse before they even come and do roll call. So I think things change a little bit in that regard, but we'll always hate the Mets. We'll always hate the Red Sox.
I loved the box seats. Like when I was a little kid, I don't know. We didn't sit in the bleachers. I don't know. Maybe my dad just didn't want me around. It was pretty wild back then. But I mean, I'm like four to 8 years old, and I would always make him sit in the right field box seats, and I'd always get right up to the edge. So, and I wouldn't watch the game. I just watch you guys in the bleachers. I was just people watching. And one time there was a fight or something, and a guy got thrown out, and 5 minutes later, he's in the box seats. He's bought a ticket from a scalper, couldn't get into the bleachers though. So he's just yelling across the bleachers, you know, I'm back, blah, 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 like, help me sneak in. And that to me was like a bigger celebrity than the guy on the field. I just would love to watch what you guys were doing and all the chants and all that.
Back then, it was really different. I think the biggest change from the old stadium to the new stadium is it's a small design thing, but it really affected our participation, I guess, if you will. At the old stadium, you used to go up through a tunnel, and you would come out to the ramp, and then you would walk up the stairs to your seats. So you were always in front of people. If you showed up late, or you were drunk, or you had on a dumb outfit, you had to parade yourself from one end to the other in front of everyone. Now everybody comes in from behind. People sneak in from behind you. Nobody sees you. So that's like a completely different element. We used to have so much fun just on, hey, that guy looks like Willie Nelson. And then Willie Nelson jokes start for 20 minutes until the next guy who, hey, that guy looks like the Green Giant. Ho, 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 Green Giant. And, you know, like, we would do all our little gimmicks in songs because we had constant stimulus. You know what I mean? At the new stadium now, you're constantly focused at the field, as it should be. And, you know, people come in from behind, so you don't really get that play as much as you used to.
It's also much, much deeper, the new stadium, that section. It's 39 then, 203 now. I feel like I was watching videos of the bleacher creatures back in the old stadium, and you had the scoreboard behind you, so there was no one behind you at all. But it felt like is it twice as long, like top to bottom, the row?
You feel a little bit further back, I guess, to say it. You know, at the old stadium, we were right on top of the outfield wall. You know, there weren't seats in front of us. So I think that whole section in front of us kind of adds to that depth feeling. But, you know, you're still right on top of it. As far as the right field bleachers go, you know, it's really not a bad seat. And if you're loud enough, everybody can hear you, so you're all good.
Yeah. All right. I want to go back even further. So you're a Yankee fan growing up, I'm guessing, born and raised, just naturally?
Yeah, just like everybody, you know, most people, you know. My dad, both my parents worked when I was super, super young, like first 5-6 years before you start really going to nursery school and elementary school. And I was raised at my grandma's house, and my dad's younger brother and sister still lived at home. They were Yankee fans, and we just grew up watching the Yankees. It was just the thing, you know. So, yeah, I've been a Yankee fan since forever.
So like, you're, like, coming to age of then as this the bleacher creature, and then later on it kind of – you kind of spawn off, like, you know, even more kind of fame, I guess is the correct word, afterwards. What's that – like, when was the moment where you're like, holy shit, I am now – a known Yankee fan? You've been a Yankee fan your whole life, and now it's...
I'll tell you exactly how it all went down. So I had kind of started the t-shirt company, and I was, you know, doing my thing. We were doing, you know, making the bleachers known, and there was a casting call at the old stadium for a television commercial for MLB's campaign. It was like the campaign was like titled "I Live for This." Fairly certain that was one of the one they were working on at the time. And I went in and I tried out for it. And because of that, I got the screen test to be on the Ultimate Road Trip for the YES Network. So this is like going into the winter of 2004, right before the 2005 season. I mean, there was snow on the ground the whole night. But that was really when I kind of became Bald Vinny, so to say. And that, like, really became the persona, and when the focus started moving towards, you know, kind of growing that as a Yankee fan and seeing where I could take it, you know, and leveraging the show and all that other stuff. So that's kind of really where it all started. It was that MLB screen test where I met the producers from Road Trip.
Yes, Ultimate Road Trip, for our listeners who aren't positive what that is or haven't heard of it. Yes Network became a TV channel in like 2002, I think. And American Idol and reality shows were all the rage, so they said, let's dabble in this. The first season, which you were on, was four fans. You got to go to every single game. And later on, they made it like a contest. You had to win game tickets, whatever.
Correct, right, because they realized, you know, and I don't know how familiar people are with TV and production and whatnot, but most reality shows, they film the whole thing, take it back, edit it, and then like 2 months later, it all airs. The thing that was really unique about the Road Trip is we aired every week. Mm-hmm. You know, so our show, we shot to Friday and it aired on Sunday. You know, so whereas a normal reality show, you get story arcs and you can develop your characters and what's going on at home and the backstory and plots and stuff, they never really had that with Road Trip. So after the first season, like, well, what do we got to do? So that's when it became more of a contest. Like, for us, it wasn't so much difficult to go to games. I mean, because we had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You know, they did all of our travel arrangements for us. You know, they told us where we had to be, when we had to be there. All the reservations were done. We just had to show up. You know what I mean? So it wasn't really hard. You know what I mean? It wasn't super grueling. I mean, it's a lot of travel and... You know, the more it was the silly stuff that they made us do in between, because they realized that, hey, damn, we go to Boston like four times. What the hell are we going to do four times in Boston? Oh, let's make them go on duck tours. Oh, let's make them do, you know, a scavenger hunt at Faneuil Hall. Let's make them do this. And for me, at the time, I was like, yo, I just want to hang out with these dudes. Like, why can't I meet Bernie and Derek and Jorge? Like, I want to do stuff. Like, they're here, we're here. Let's do stuff with them instead of running around doing all this silly shit. Let's do, you know. But at the time, because it was the first season and they had no ratings and no sponsors and they had no pull, they couldn't really do that type of stuff. And the thing that killed me that whole, you know, year is, and I think every year since, they've won Emmys left and right for that. but none of the cast ever got any props on that. All the producers, all the Yes Network, they all got to pad their resumes with that, except all the cast kind of got left in the wind. So that's kind of the only bad thing about that. But for me, again, that was where Bald Vinny came about. So in retrospect, it was a good time, you know, and it led me to do cool Yankee stuff, you know, bottom line. And that's really what I look back like when I look at the Bald Vinny career, you know, I got to do cool Yankee shit.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do cool stuff with players where they're normal people. You know what I mean? And I have always wanted as a, you know, my goal as a whatever, as a fan, super fan. I don't like that term because I feel like everybody who's passionate about this team is a super fan. You know, mm-hmm. I tried to spin a small business off, and my real goal was to be a bridge between the Yankees and the fans, right? The Yankees have always been the most closed off organization, you know, like what goes on behind the curtain, and even more so back in the dynasty era, you know, with the Jeters and the Bernies and the Paulies, and like that group was guarded, man. Like you didn't get anything. Like the internet wasn't nearly as prolific as it is now. You didn't have beat writers tweeting every little thing, mm-hmm. you know, so whatever went on behind the scenes, fans didn't get a bite of that, you know? And that's what we really found out on the road trip show was like, they're clamoring for anything Yankees, you know, they're dying for anything Yankees. And when they couldn't get the Yankees, they were like, oh, look, the road trip is here. you know what I mean? And I'm like, well, if I can be the conduit between the fans and the team, you know, if I can bring that experience, that's always what I wanted to do, you know? And that's what the goal with Roll Call was, right? Like the joy of Roll Call, aside from getting on a bench and screaming your face off, because if you haven't done that, that's pretty awesome, right? But the real is the acknowledgement. Right, because these guys turn around and wave.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you are or how many times you've done it. When they turn around and wave, they're waving to you. And it's you or your dad or your little brother or your buddy from work. You know what I mean? And that's your connection. So I think, like I said, that was the beauty of the Roll Call. You're connecting, bridging that gap between the fans and the players. And that's cool, man. You don't get that anywhere.
Yeah, it's a reaction. The Roll Call, when the Roll Call started, I think I've heard you talk about the beginning of it before mm-hmm. with Bernie, and I've read somewhere like it was Tino was the first to wave to you guys.
Well, that was really, so like we always had a rapport with the guys in the outfield, right? Like we're right there. You know what I mean? Like we could yell to Bernie and you know he's going to hear you because he's only like 50 feet away. But like one day it was like a day game against Chicago and people were bored as hell and they started chanting Tino, and he turned around, and it was like that light bulb went off, and everyone went like, holy shit, they can really hear us. And literally, that was the moment. You're like they can hear us, you know? Because like, nobody, you know, you can scream people's names till they're blue in the face, and especially, you know, from the bleachers, they're kind of taught to ignore any, you hear your name coming from the bleachers, ignore, don't feed into it, don't ever turn around, you know? So when you finally get that acknowledgement, that made it feel for us, that was like, yeah, that was crazy. You know what I mean? It felt like then it kind of morphed into us being part of the family, you know, where it became the welcome, you know, where once it started evolving, and I hate to credit this to a Red Sox, but Johnny Damon was the one who really kind of embraced it from a player perspective.
Yeah.
And it became a thing where, like, when guys come over now and they're looking forward to their first Roll Call because it welcomes them in, it makes them feel like part of the Yankees. Like, that shit's cool, man. I don't care who you are. That's cool.
No, it was Johnny Damon the first person to do, like, not just a glove wave.
A regular wave, yeah. Yeah, he used to get down on one knee and would do a double finger point out to the bleachers from left field.
Yep.
And he was the first one to do something, like, unique. And then it kind of, and then other guys, some guys do it and some guys don't, and everybody has their own thing, but it's cool that they're into it, you know what I mean? Or that they know of it.
Yeah, I mean, because Swisher had the salute. I know Gardy does like the strong man, like
the flex,
yeah. And then, so the outfielders always kind of, they like have pressure on them. I know Kutch turned around and did some weird, like, I don't know what it was. He said he didn't even know what it was. He just did it. The infielders do a quick wave, but I was watching a video And it was Jeter and Brosh just busting each other's balls, saying who enjoys hearing their name chanted more.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think that's completely a thing with those guys, especially back then, because it was so much in its infancy. You know what I mean? It was such a unique thing. I think as the guys kind of got older, it became like, I don't know. I don't want to say like a rite of passage for them, I guess. You know, it's weird because I've met some of the guys, you know, you hang out, and I've been very fortunate enough to do some fundraising and charity events. And to hear them talk about it from a player's perspective or like behind the locker room perspective, it's completely different. Like Curtis Granderson coming to the Yankees and literally wrote an entire blog for Major League Baseball about, oh my God, what am I supposed to do for the roll call? You know what I mean? like that's cool. You know what I mean? Like, we're just a bunch of fans, man. We're just going to chant your name. All we want you to do is turn around and wave. You know what I mean? Like, we just, that's, again, it goes back to the acknowledgement. You know, everybody wants to feel a part of the group. And you know, to know that they thought about it like that, it's cool.
And then you even had like David Wells used to chant his name, right? And he would acknowledge.
We've gotten a few guys on certain special instances. Like, it's typical that we don't ever do the pitcher,
yeah,
right? And it's always been our thought is like, look, man, we're just chanting names. We don't want anybody to stop the game. You know, we're not interrupting anybody. Like, we're just going to chant some names. You're going to turn around and wave. It's dope. But like, there's certain guys that we've gotten, Wells being one of them. We've gotten Cone, and one of the best ones though is AJ Burnett. We met AJ at a Hope Week event on the field with the Yankees, and he happened to be starting the following day. And he's like, oh, dude, you know, if you guys give me a roll call, he goes, hell yeah, I'll acknowledge you. And we're like, dope, man, this is going to be great. We're going to do AJ tomorrow. And game starts, and on the first batter leads off with a hit, first pitch of the game. And for roll call, that sucks because it kind of sucks the energy because, you know, we get in there and you get all hyped up for the first pitch, and the first one comes in, and it's base hit, so you kind of got to do it all over again.
Yeah.
So we go to do it all over again, and it's literally the third pitch of the game, and we get to AJ, and he had to check the runner at first base to turn around so he could wave to us because he was, like, getting ready to go. And I can't remember, I can't remember who was playing first base, but I had no clue that a check was coming from the pitcher because it was the third bat of the game. It's the third pitch of the game. Like, what the hell's going on? And AJ had to like stop the whole thing just so he can acknowledge his roll call. And we're like, see, that's exactly why we don't do you guys.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. What about catchers? Was there any catcher that acknowledged, or was that the same
situation? No, catcher's always tough, man, because they're so focused and they got their own thing going on. You know, they got the helmet and the gear, and you know, we never even really considered doing those guys. The only thing that we used to do that we stopped doing after a while, we used to get Michael Kay and John Sterling. You know, they were the radio team back in the day, and they used to be at every game. You know, so we used to get Kay and Sterling. Then when they broke up and they started the YES Network stuff and Kay moved over to TV, then it was Charlie Steiner and John Sterling. But Steiner would not always acknowledge us. I don't know whether he didn't hear it or he was just too busy or doing the game. And then we were like, well, F these guys, man, you know, like, and so we kind of cut them out at that point. And Michael had even asked me about that. I know you had him on your show recently.
Yeah.
But he's like, dude, how come you guys don't put me in roll call? I'm like, well, man, I can't figure out your TV schedule. You're here some days, you're not here other days. Like, I have a hard enough time getting roll call down, much less worrying about you over there. So that's kind of how those guys stopped. And we just keep it to the guys on the field and make some noise for the team.
Has there been a player that runs through? Because, I mean, there's been years where we had oddball players, and you always have September call-ups or weird trades. Has there been a player where the Yankees forgot to tell them, like, hey, you have to wave to them, or they just don't figure it out?
There's only been one person, and it's kind of a weird thing kind of to talk about. I don't know if anybody knows the name Charlie Pride.
Charlie Pride?
Yep.
I don't recognize the name.
He was deaf.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had a hearing thing, and we chanted that dude's name for a long goddamn time, man. We chanted that dude's name, and guys in the outfield were trying to get him, and they're calling for him, and they're trying to get him to turn around, and it just didn't happen. And I think that was the only guy we never really really got to acknowledge us.
Well, he has a good excuse, I guess.
Yeah, no doubt. 100% no doubt. You know what I mean? 100% no doubt. So, we let him pass on that one.
That's what everyone else. I mean, so there's got to be the players. I know the players know it. We obviously know that. But it's a thing like, hey, they're going to chant your name. That's just cool that it's become so integrated into
I think at this point now, you know, most people know because it's been going on for such a long time. But for us, when it really started to get crazy was when our normal group started getting switched up, right? Like for years, it was Bernie and Paulie, and Tino and Derek, you know? And when there started being new names in there, especially when it started to be names of guys that we didn't really, you know, give it to on the other end a little bit, and now they're on your team, like number one, first example, Raul Mondesi. Hated us because when he was on Toronto, we used to give him some hard, you know, back at the old stadium where, you know, you could kind of say whatever you wanted, you know, we would rag on him a lot, you know, and heckle because that was our job. It wasn't just rooting for the Yankees, you know, part of what was sitting in the bleachers was the heckling, you know. If we can get into somebody's head a little bit, then we're doing our job as fans. So we used to give it to guys quite a bit. Another one who came over, who actually took it a lot better, was Vernon Wells, right? We used to give Vernon a hard time again when he was in Toronto, and he came over and started playing right field and was super, 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 super cool. We had a thing, I hate to kind of go off on a tangent, but I'll tell you a quick Vernon Wells story. We used to chant to Vernon Wells, your name's Vernon. that was it, right? It was dumb. It was just your name's Vernon. And I ran into him at a Robinson Cano fundraiser event at the 40 Club a couple of years ago. And we were talking about it. I introduced myself. And he's like, oh, you're that dude. He's like, blah, blah, blah. What's going on? He's like, why? He's like, why do you guys just chant your name's Vernon at me? He's like, yeah, I know my name's Vernon. He's like, what's the deal? I had to remind him, and you know, everything always has an origin, right? So I had to remind him of the night of where that came about. And he used to play next to Shannon Stewart, right? So we were going off on Shannon. Shannon's a girl's name.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. Vernon starts laughing. And we're like, what are you laughing at, dude? Your name's Vernon. And that's where it started. He was like, dude, I had no idea. Like, yeah, it's like one of those things, like, for years, and that was his first roll call. His first roll call is, your name's Vernon. And
oh, that's funny.
He turned around dying laughing. And, you know, like, that's the cool part of doing what we got to do, you know?
Yeah. Right fielders, that's, like, your guy. I know Bernie was your guy at the beginning.
Bernie was always my guy.
But
Bernie will always be my guy.
Yeah, for the creatures, like Nick Swisher couldn't have spoken better about you guys, and he engaged all the time. And now you see Judge, like Judge just took the field, stepped on grass, just as a defensive replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him, he's just acknowledging everyone yelling his name and like yucking it up. Is that grown? Is like, was O'Neill, because O'Neill, I feel like he was too focused to be doing that.
But yeah, Paulie was definitely a focused individual, but I think that stuff really started with Swish, and it really came in with the new stadium because, again, you're right on top of these guys. They're right. You're right there. They hear you, and as much as there's so many people there, they can pick voices out. Like, they know, you know what I mean? Like, I know Swisher. We used to do charity stuff together. Like, I remember I had a Mother's Day. My mom came for, like, one Mother's Day. And it's, you know, obviously a quiet Sunday afternoon. And I was like, yo, Swish, can you wave to my mom? And he just turns around and tips his cap, you know what I mean? Like, just silly random stuff. But, like, you know they hear you. And I think the fact that, like I said earlier, you know, they were always trained to never turn around. But, you know, they turn around, and they love that, and they feed off that. And if you're not feeding off the energy of the crowd as a ball player, you're probably in the wrong profession.
It's true. And that, it's like, because Judge is as guarded as they come. He's not the same personality as Swisher, but he's constantly talking and pointing and nodding with the fans out there. And it's just awesome to see.
I mean, and especially, you know, you got to put yourself in his shoes. You know, you're a young kid and you're, you know, almost on the precipice of being the face of the franchise. And you have, you know, the world is your oyster, and you have, it's got to be pretty fun to be Aaron Judge. You gotta think, right?
Yep. And then you've even had players come and spend the game with you guys in the bleachers. I know Coney did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tino did it in a disguise?
No, Tino wasn't out there. Cashman came out in a disguise.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Brian Cashman came out. He wore a wig. Tino has been out. He came out to the bleachers at the old stadium at the last game of the old stadium. He just kind of made like a quick appearance and kind of visited us. But, you know, we have had a number of players, mostly some of the older guys. Like, we, again, kind of do our own thing out there. You know, we try to participate as much as possible, and we've done our own fundraising stuff. Like, we had Italian Sturts night. You know, the Yankees would never have Italian Sturts night.
Yeah.
But the Bleacher Creatures have Italian Sturts night, you know. And Sturts came out with Charlie Hayes, and Larry's comes out. You know, guys will definitely come and chill with us out there. It's a lot of fun.
Who's in charge of the roll call now? Like, they gave Don Mattingly a roll call when the Marlins were in town. Is there a brain trust that makes that decision? Is it one guy?
There's people that have been there for a long time, right? And, you know, I really don't go too much anymore, but there's people who have always been there for a number of years, and those are the people that are going to make the decisions. You know what I mean? Whether it's a new guy. You know, I get that all the time, and it's really so funny to me. People are like, oh, you know, Yankees signed Andrew McCutchen. What are you going to do? We're just screaming his name, man. It's not like, you know, you're coming up with the formula, you know, for rocket fuel or something. It's four syllables, two syllables, pick what works, whatever. You maybe throw in a little clapping.
Yep.
I don't know, you know, and then, like, everybody gets on the same page, and it's super easy. You know, if you ever have a question, I always used to tell people, if there was ever a question of what we're going to do, find a kid, because the kid's going to tell you the truth. Find, like, some 8 or 10-year-old boy, and be like, yo, dude, what sounds better, this or this? And whatever he says, you usually go with him.
There you go. That's actually a great way to get things solved.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's ever been, like, a huge debate. I think Andrew McCutchen did the full name. Will be Kutch. That sounds weird. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, some stuff sounds weird, you know? Like, it just makes sense to go some ways with certain guys. And there's never really, like, debate, you know? Even with the whole A-Rod stuff, like, there was never really any debate as far as whether or not you're going to cheer him or are you going to do a roll call.
Yeah.
Back then, like, when he was coming back, like, I had to literally go on social media and be like, look, stop asking me. We don't skip people.
Yeah.
Right? You're on our team. We cheer for you. That's how it works. That's what we do. We're fans. We got your back. And that's kind of really how the whole thing started with, you know, the forgive stuff and really getting behind A-Rod and kind of doing that whole thing is because we cheer the laundry. Like, yeah, you might be this guy or I might have this thing or but it doesn't matter, dude. You're busting your ass to try to make my team win so I can leave this place happy. At least I can do is get out and cheer for you.
Yep. As I would say, I root for people in pinstripes. Simple as that. What have the efforts been like to tame you guys? I know they cut off the alcohol for a couple years.
Yeah.
I'm sure some chants now, just the way the world is going, are thrown to the wayside that used to be chanted.
Sure. Basically, we're just over-policed. You know, and what really came about, and we started policing ourselves because, you know, for guys who go to multiple games, we don't want it to suck tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Like if you guys are there, you know, you're out on your one Friday night and you want to get up on the bench and yell F this and this sucks and whatever, because that's what you think you're allowed to do. No, because I got to come back tomorrow and I don't want 10 more security guards here, dude. So get off, you know, behave, you know what I mean? So we were policing ourselves because we don't want more eyes on us. You'll find that if you ever go to the bleachers, even now, Section 203, 202, 203, 204, that little group right over there, right field, has twice as many security guards than any section does. And the same thing at the old stadium, that we had twice as many police officers. You know, they just beef up security and keep extra eyes on us, and it's more of a zero tolerance. You know, get up on a bench, you're going to get a warning. Do it again, you're out. You know, and then people see other people getting tossed, like, damn, I can't do anything out here. You know, and we used to call it the no fun zone. You know what I mean? Like all I'm trying to do is have fun, man. I can't say the word suck. You know, like, what's the deal? Like, I was legitimately taken to an office of the chief operating officer. I don't even know what the hell the guy's title was. He was a big dude all the way up at the stadium. And basically I was told that we're not allowed to make fun of other fans. Like, everybody's there to have a good time, whether they're a Boston fan or a Mets fan. And I guess it's the whole PC nature. I'm not allowed to tell people that they suck anymore. So that's why Box Seat Sucks stopped. You know, you're not allowed to make fun of people anymore. So, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I mean, I get it, and that's weird.
You get it, but you know what I mean? You're like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah, it's still
like,
a
whatever.
Baseball game. They did cut off the alcohol, right? And then I
yeah,
was reading.
At one point in the old stadium, they did cut off alcohol. You know, there was no, obviously, again, we were cut off from the whole place. So it was easy to do. There was just no beer in that general area. But it's funny because the very day that they cut off beer sales in the bleachers, some dude in the upper deck wound up sneaking in like a whole bunch of whiskey and fell from the upper deck into the netting behind home plate at the old stadium. Jeez. He was so bombed. They fell from the upper deck into the netting. And we're like, no, you're taking beer away from us? Like, look what's going on. But again, and then again, it's the old stadium. This is prior, you know, to 2001 and whatnot. We used to bring in our own stuff, and I got more drunk when there was no beer than when there was beer.
Yeah.
We used to bring in tons of booze. And it was crazy. Like, back in the day, like, when I first sat in the bleachers in the late 90s, and you know, you can go in and on a Friday night, and I'll walk in with a bag, and like, what's in your bag? I'm like, nothing, just cups. And like, I just have a bag of cups, and nobody would say nothing. And like, what do you got? I just two bags of ice. What, you got no ice? Just ice? Yeah, man, it's just ice in a plastic bag, man. And okay, cool, go inside. You know, and then some guy walks in, and he's got two Snapple bottles. Well, you know, next thing you know, we're making Jack and Cokes out there. So
yep.
We used to call it the bleacher bartenders, and you know, drinks were made bleacher strength, and they definitely put hair on your chest back then.
That's funny. Yeah, I was reading up, and they said like they used to sell nips in the bathroom of like vodka and stuff.
Even back in the day, even prior to you know all that stuff, there used to be Yankee joints out there for like $2 or $3. Back in the you know the late 70s, early 80s, when the Bronx was a little tougher, you know, it was the Wild West in the old bleachers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Yankees didn't learn from Prohibition at all. If you ban something, it's just stronger.
It gets worse, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining, man. Where can people find you? You're still out in front of the stadium selling shirts and all that, right?
I'm around on the weekends. You know, I kind of moved on from that type of stuff. You know, I have a regular 9-to-5, but I'm around on the weekends. You can always find me online. BaldVinny.com. I'm BaldVinny everywhere on all social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that fun stuff. So I'm always around. Hit me up. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you're a loud Yankee fan, if you're passionate about this team, you like to make some noise, buy a ticket in 203. You'll probably have a good time.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming on, man. I mean, I love,
my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
I love the stories. I grew up like idolizing you guys just as much as I like the guys on the field as like just
that's
sit
cool.
And watch
I appreciate
both.
That.
So
cheers.
It's awesome. All right.
Thanks, man. Keep up the good work, man. You guys are putting out some great content. You know, been following you on the Instagram, and you guys got some good stuff out there, man. Keep it up.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Cheers.
All right. Have a good one.
You too, man.
There you have it. Some fun stories. Bald Vinny, Bleacher Creatures, Yes Ultimate Road Trip, which was hosted by Michelle Beadle. She went on to be a little bigger than that, but hosted by Michelle Beadle, if you don't remember that. Good talk. That was pretty fun. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining. Patreon, if you want to support the show, $2 a month, you get early access, live access, video access, some extra perks, and you get your name put in a raffle to win an affordable jersey. No name, Yankee jersey. You get your name in a raffle to win a jersey from affordablejerseys.com. Other than that, just subscribe, rate, review. And even if you don't rate, review, just subscribe. Just send it around. Tell your friends to subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Follow us on any social medias. Follow along. Thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate you. I hope you have a fantastic day.
Go Yankees.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're thinking about giving therapy a try, check out BetterHelp. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You fill out a questionnaire, they match you with a licensed therapist, and you can switch anytime, no additional charge. So, celebrate the progress that you've already made by visiting BetterHelp.com/Yanks today, and you'll get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Yanks.